Manuscript Releases, Volume 11, Numbers 851 to 920. MR Number 854, A Charitable Attitude Toward Others. We shall have enough to praise God for in the future life. We shall thank God for every reproof which taught us our own weakness and our Saviour's power, patience, and love. Jesus' manner of working should be our manner. I feel so grateful that the Lord is of tender pity, full of mercy. He deals not with us according to our sins, but is long-suffering. He sees our weakness. He knows our defects, our lack of faith and courage, and yet he bears with us still. The same divine sympathy, the same patient love, he shows to us who are so unworthy of his favors. I am not what I ought to be, or what Jesus would have me. I see that I must have more of the spirit of the Master. I must not let one thought or one feeling arise in my heart against my brethren, for they may be in the sight of God more righteous than I. My feelings must not be stirred. We have battles to fight with ourselves, but we should continually encourage our brethren. We should lay no stumbling blocks in their way, and should cherish only the very kindest feelings toward them. Satan is willing and anxious to tear them down. Let us not unite our forces with his. They have their conflicts and trials. God forbid that we should add one trial to those they have to bear. Oh, I long for constant repose in God, and not to have my mind in agitation in regard to minor matters. I constantly feel that my work upon the earth may not last long, and while it does last, I want my thoughts and mind engaged in doing all I can to save perishing souls around me. I cannot and will not allow my mind to think unkindly of and misjudge my fellow laborers. I will write out the testimonies of reproof for anyone, and then my feelings shall not be exercised against them. I will look within. I will seek to make my ways in the strength of Jesus perfect before God. And when tempted to feel unkindly, or to be suspicious and to find fault, I will put this out of my heart quickly, for the soul temple is surely being desecrated and defiled by Satan. The love that Jesus possessed, it is the duty of us both to welcome and cherish, and to have that charity that thinketh no evil. Then our influence will be fragrant as sweet perfume. The softening, subduing, refining, sanctifying influence of the Spirit of God must abide in us. If it is not there, Christ is not enshrined in our hearts. For if he is abiding in us, even our thoughts will be brought into captivity to Christ. The loins of the mind will be girded up. I have been shown that unless we make most diligent work in purifying our own souls from all unkindness and bitterness, these traits will reveal themselves at times, before we are aware of it, to do great harm to the cause we love. I have been shown that when we strictly heed the instructions God has given us in regard to cherishing, pitying love, compassion, forgiveness, and kindness for others, and are forgetful of ourselves, we shall have a power of influence with our people such as no others can have. I was shown that it rests wholly with us whether we leave an influence behind us that is subduing, transforming, and elevating, or, to the contrary, whether we shall wound, injure, be dictatorial, overbearing, censuring, exalting, and magnifying ourselves, and it be a relief to many who love and fear God when our voice shall be silent in the grave, our influence no longer felt. I feel deeply, feel that we have erred in not manifesting greater love, forbearance, and pity for others. The diseased have ye not strengthened. Ezekiel 34, verse 4, is the reproof given to unfaithful shepherds. Our feelings must not be a ruling power. We must walk in all humility of mind. The Lord loves his servants who are unselfishly engaged in the saving of souls. He will, as readily, guide them in judgment and teach them his will as he will teach us. We must believe that Jesus stands at the helm. He will be captain, and we may trust his own work in his all-powerful hands. I know that God has conscientious, God-fearing men in the harvest field who will not spare themselves, who will, if required, sacrifice all for Jesus. Let us respect our brethren. Give them credit for honesty of purpose and unselfish motives, as we wish they should do for us. We should treat all, rich and poor, high or lowly, exactly as we wish them to treat us. God is no respecter of persons. The pure, those who are good and do good, are very near to Jesus. The disciple whom Jesus loved most was John, because he was the closest imitator of his character and was imbued with the spirit of love. It was the joy of Christ's soul to do good to men. Many times he sighed in spirit and was very sorrowful. Many times his tears flowed, expressing his anguish of soul when he beheld the unbelief, the ingratitude, and felt the hatred of those he came to bless and save. Jesus in heaven looks with grief upon the insensibility of souls upon whom the richest of his favors have been poured without effect. He has made man, given him the wondrous faculties of the mind, the noble affections of the heart, and these gifts they use against the giver. They despise obedience to Christ. Their ears are not inclined to hear his voice. Their tongues speak not his praise. Oh, my soul is agonized at times that the hearts of even his professed followers who are daily receiving his mercies should be empty of his praise. Let us, dear husband, make melody to God in our hearts. Let us not be found accusers of our brethren, for this is the work Satan is engaged in. Let us talk of Jesus and his matchless love. I feel every day like deeply repenting before God for my hardness of heart, and because my life has not been more in accordance with the life of Christ. I weep over my own hardness of heart, my life which has not been a correct example to others. Let us bring ourselves into harmony with heaven, and we will then be in harmony with our brethren and at peace among ourselves. Let us now, both of us, redeem the time. Forgive me for any words of impatience that have escaped my lips, every seeming act of wrong in your sight. I mean to make straight paths for my feet and to have control over my own spirit, to keep my own heart in the love of God and make sure work for eternity. Perils surround us, perplexities we must meet, and we cannot meet them aright unless we are fully consecrated to God and have self under the full control of His Spirit. May the Lord teach and lead and guide you, is my prayer. And may nothing shake our hold on him. 5, 1880, pages 3-6. Addressed to her husband, Elder James White, from Oakland, California, March 18, 1880. White Estate, Washington, D.C., May 19, 1981.